Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on to Harrison Butker. I always feel like with Harrison Butker, we have to kind of give this disclaimer before we discuss him. I don't care what Harrison Butker's politics are. I really don't. I mean, they're not my politics, but Harrison Butker is allowed to feel how he feels. I don't care. It doesn't affect my life in any way. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. I don't pay attention to it. I don't want to know any more of what Harrison Butker thinks. I'm fine with that. So I just want to give that disclaimer before we move. Like, oh, no, I don't care. Whatever he thinks is fine. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. So that's number one. Number two, I think this is very, very important to note with Harrison Butker. The money. Always follow the money. Now, I know that to you, the money doesn't matter. And I know we argue sunk cost on everything that happens, but I'm also not the one that's paying for it. So if I was the one that was paying for it, I don't know if I would just sunk cost everything. I would try to make it work for what I've paid for. So the Chiefs gave Harrison Butker a contract that makes him the highest paid kicker in the National Football League. They signed him to a 4-year, $25.6 million deal, and they guaranteed $17 million of it. So that contract basically ensures that he is going to be the kicker for 24, 25, and 26. For those of you that want to know what the cap hit looks like, this year, Harrison Butker's cap hit is $5.2 million. His dead cap is $15.2 million. That means they would just simply throw away $10 million if they just outright did something different with Harrison Butker. Now, you tell me what team is going to just give up $10 million for their kicker, especially in September. Now, if this is an issue in December and getting close to January, I am more than happy to revisit this conversation when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. But it's September. They're not doing anything right now. If you want to go to next season now, it's a little bit different. I mean, the Chiefs will still have to eat a little bit of money, but it's a little bit more feasible if they want to move on at the end of the season. I mean, they're still going to be down, but it's far easier for you to walk away next year than this year when talking about the cap hit. Now, this might not be a message that makes you happy, but this is a message that you need to hear. The only option when it comes to Harrison Butker is hoping that he figures it out. They are not replacing him. They are not bringing in somebody else to kick field goals in the short term. What they're going to do is some old-fashioned trying to coach him up. Sometimes that's all you can do. That's why Dave Tobe makes six figures a year, to try to help Harrison Butker get back on track and turn into a kicker that people argued should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But there is no other option for right now. And I don't know if there should be another option in September for their kicker. I tweeted this out, and maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't see it. Where I will defend Harrison Butker just a little bit, is we have gotten to the point now where we assume that every field goal should be a make. That's not how we used to treat field goals 5-7 years ago. That the game has changed in such a way, and these kickers have gotten so good that now we take 50-yard field goals and 60-yard field goals for granted. It feels like every week we're breaking a record. I think it was just in the last 2 weeks the outdoor record was broken for the longest field goal in NFL history. These guys, the range has gotten ridiculous. The accuracy has gotten ridiculous. I looked this up because I was curious about Harrison Butker. if you go back 10 years ago, you had about a 50-50 chance of making a kick that was longer than 50 yards. It is now at 77% on field goals that are over 50 yards. Now, that's not automatic, but the feeling is you should be making like 95% of those kicks. That's just not realistic. Now, I know Harrison Butker has missed some extra points. He's missed some kicks. I get all of that. Just 7 months ago, he didn't miss a kick in the postseason. He made every single kick, every single extra point. Now, I can't believe that I am the one to be screaming this. Let's wait and see. I don't have a hot take for you. I'm not asking for somebody to get fired. I'm not asking for somebody to get replaced. I don't think they need a new special teams coach. I just think this is something that you quite simply have to let it play itself out. And let's just revisit this once it starts to get colder and once the games start to get more important. That's where I think you are with Harrison Butker. I don't think there's anywhere else to be in the short term. You're stuck for right now. You're stuck. You gave him this $17 million. You're not even halfway done with the contract. You got to just ride it out and see if he can get out on the other side. And I promise you, if this is an issue, once we get to Thanksgiving and Christmas, that Harrison Butker is still incredibly shaky and somebody that you can't rely on, and now you're heading into the postseason, I am more than happy to revisit this conversation. But for right now, there really is no Harrison Butker conversation because his contract doesn't really allow you to have a conversation about Harrison Butker. So, Rob, that is at least the Carrington official stance on Harrison Butker. Do you have an official stance, or are we going to say that this is the Drive's official statement when it comes to Harrison Butker?
It's the Drive official statement because of the contract and everything you laid out with Harrison Butker. But in this same vein, can I ask a question? Are we going to look back at Brett Veach's decision to give him that contract and say, woof? Because kickers are volatile. I know they're great right now. Like, Brandon Aubrey's a freak. Like, we can name elite kickers across the NFL. Like, it's not a hard game to play right now. But if you look at the history of some of the best kickers in the NFL, it usually ends fast. Like, I just looked this up. There was at one point in the NFL where Steven Gostkowski was the best kicker in the league. This was not like 20, 30 years ago. This is like 5 years ago. He was the best. He was making everything for the Patriots. Remember, they moved on from Vinatieri. They brought in Gostkowski. They had their heir apparent. Everything was happy. You know what the Patriots had to do because he started getting iffy? They cut him. Then he went to the Titans, and he was bad. Like, Justin Tucker, putting all the stuff to the side about him being Mr. Nasty Man that came out after he was cut, the Ravens were like, uh-oh, it's not there anymore, and they moved on.
For sure.
When we were kids, you know who was a great kicker? Jason Elam. Do you know what happened to him? He got cut one day. Like, kickers just, I don't know if it's just the leg strength or whatever it is, the mental hurdle. I don't know. But it's not like you can see it just slowly fall off. It kind of just drops off a cliff one day. And giving Harrison Butker a major contract, is it fair to ask, was that a good call by Brett Veach because of the volatility at the position, even from, as I mentioned, some of the best ones in the history of the league?
I think that's a very fair point, but I also think like we kind of have to acknowledge where I don't know if kicking is like running back, where it kind of has like a historic line. Hey, man, once you get past 30, you're a little bit on borrowed time. And every positive year that you have at 31, 32 from your running back, man, you should count your blessings. You mentioned Jason Elam, who was one of the better kickers we've seen in, what, the last 30 years. He kicked until he was 39 years old. He kicked from the Broncos from 93 until 2007. So he was still very productive for a very, very long period of time. I just don't know if I'm ready to say this about Harrison Butker. After just 1 month of the NFL season, 1 month, he just turned 30. So I'm just saying, let's just give it a little bit more time. Yes, it is starting to be noticeable now. Has he missed a kick in every game they've had so far this season?
Extra point in the Chargers game.
Yeah,
so yes.
Yes.
The answer to your question, yes.
He has missed a kick in some form in every game that they have had so far this season. I am willing to let who at one time was deemed to be the most accurate kicker in the history of the National Football League, I am fine to give him a little bit more time to get himself out of this rut. I think you can officially call it a rut now. I don't know if you can call it anything else. I think it's very important to note, and Mitch Holthus pointed this out last week when he was with us, he's not missing the same way every single time. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's left, sometimes it's right. Like, he seems to be like in the process of adjusting his swing, so to speak, and trying to figure out what his motion is to get going. I'll give him a little bit of time to figure that out. This whole thing feels a little bit premature. It feels a little bit premature with Harrison Bucker. I'm going to defend him. I'm going to give him a little bit more time. We had this talk last week when he missed a kick. He missed another kick. I'm still at the 3 to 4 range. I'm not going to get too alarmed about it. Not going to get too worried about it. Let's revisit this conversation in 2 months. 2 months. Let's revisit this conversation in 2 months to see where we are with Harrison Bucker. Have you switched your number at all? If it continues this way, are you willing to pull the plug a little sooner when it comes to Bucker? Where are you at?
I am very much in the exact same vein as you. I will say, I don't think you can really pull the plug on him because of his contract. So I'm going to just state, I stay at my 3.5 to 4.5 pendulum in there. I think if this is a trend over the course of the season, in March, I will be clamoring for maybe they bring in some competition, but they're kind of stuck during the regular season in my mind.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're stuck in the regular season if it gets later in the year. Like, if it gets later in the year, then I'm willing to have that conversation.
I don't see the Chiefs eating $10 million, whether it's today or December. I just don't. Like, maybe they will, but the team that wrote it out with Juwan Taylor because of his contract,
for sure.
I don't think they're doing it. They're changing their stance because of a kicker. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, so text line 913-586-7965. Let me know where you guys are when it comes to Harrison Bucker. I am unchanged with where we are. I am unchanged. I am still at the 3 to 4 range. I also think this question, someone said, let's be real. Who are we going to get if we cut him? I mean, the Chiefs found Cairo Santos. They found Harrison Bucker. Like, it's not like they spent the draft pick on Harrison Bucker. Harrison Bucker was on another team's practice squad. They went out and grabbed him. So I don't know if that's a question that we can ask at kicker. You know what I mean? Like, if he's going to be a guy that's kicking 75%, you can find a lot of people that can kick, that make 75% of kicks. So I'm not going to do the, well, what other options do they have at kicker? You can find another kicker for relatively cheap, the exact same way that you found Harrison Bucker. Let's give it a little bit more time. That's my official stance. I'm willing to give it a little bit more time before I say anything definitive with Harrison Bucker. We've been at this place before. He's missed a couple extra points. We all get up in arms about it, and then he turns himself around, and then you guys act like we overreacted from the beginning. You can fool me once on this. You ain't going to keep fooling me with this stuff when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get back to Lamar Jackson, a.k.a. the quitter from Sunday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We can move on from this. I just want to point out, we don't have to fire somebody after every week. Someone on the text line just sent this in. Hey guys, if the Chiefs were 4-0, bet, give them some time. But the Chiefs are 2-2 with a pretty brutal schedule. Let's cut them. Let's move on. Take the cap hit and move on. Let's stop with all the hometown homie stuff. It's time to move on. This is a business. This is his only job. If I put in 75% of the correct plumbing in a house, do you think I would have a job? I just want to say that it is impossible to run a team this way. After every week, the text line wants to fire somebody. Juwan Taylor, Harrison Bucker. Isaiah Pacheco, the offensive coordinator, the offensive line coach, the wide receiver coach. We don't have to do this after every single week. This is no way to run a team. The dead cap space matters. It matters. I can't believe the sports talk radio host is like, wait, hold on. Your takes are a little too hot. Just cool your jets a little bit. Let's calm down. Let's give it a little bit more time. The leaves ain't even changed all the way yet. We already kicking people off the team. No, let's give it a little bit of time. A little bit. That's all I'm saying. Can we be a little patient? Let's see how it plays itself out. Now, it's not off to a great start with Harrison Bucker. He's making 76% of his kicks. I mean, it is trending downward. Like, if you want to look at the numbers, in 2023, he made 94% of his kicks. In 2024, he made 84% of his kicks. Right now, he's at 77%. Is where he is. He's at 77%. Let's just see. Let's see how it plays itself out. That's all I'm saying. Can we all agree to do that? Can we give it a chance? Let me give you a Lamar Jackson stat that kind of blew my mind. So Lamar Jackson has been, I mean, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League's history. Like, I know he hasn't won a championship, and that's all that matters. I get it. But if you look at his regular season, he has been one of the most productive players that we have ever seen. Rob, did you know that his regular season quarterback rating is 103? The best you can do is 153. Like, I'm not joking. He has been one of the best and most productive players that we have ever seen in the National Football League, except when he plays the Chiefs. Do you know what his quarterback rating is when he goes against the Chiefs in those games? You know what it is?
I'm half.
It's 80.7. That is the same quarterback rating for a career as Blake Bortles. Just think about that. Against just about everybody else, Lamar Jackson is one of the greatest quarterbacks that we have ever seen. One of the most transcendent quarterbacks that we have ever seen. When he plays the Kansas City Chiefs, he has turned into Blake Bortles. I don't want to mince words. I don't want you guys to confuse what I'm saying. And I don't say this about professional athletes. You guys know this. I think Lamar Jackson quit yesterday. I really think that he quit. I don't want to hear this, oh, well, they were down. That's not what being a football player is. There's some things that you just can't opt out of. And playing football is kind of one of those things, especially when you're the leader the way that he is. Maybe Lamar Jackson is seriously injured. It just didn't give off that energy yesterday. We all saw the same thing. It was a regular routine tackle. He got up on his own power, walked over to the sideline, and just gave off the energy of, yeah, I'm done for today. Y'all boys got it. I'm good. I don't think we can win. It's not going well. It ain't fun today. I'm not running around and making all these big plays. These guys in front of me can't block. I'm good. I'm done. He got off the energy of somebody who quit yesterday. At a minimum, go in the locker room and fake ride the exercise bike. Go get an MRI. At least play into it. You got to Paul Pierce this bad boy. You got to have somebody carry you off the field and really make it seem like, man, I'm going through something. He was on the sideline pouting yesterday. This is your leader. This is one of the five highest paid players in the National Football League. And it looked like he grabbed his jersey and said, hey, coach, have somebody come get me. Of all the things that I think you can be disappointed about if you're a Ravens fan today, of all the things, that's got to be the number one, that my quarterback didn't look like he was ready to fight. He didn't look like he was ready to fight. We've seen situations with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you almost got to have the National Guard stop him from wanting to get back on the field. We saw Mahomes dislocate his knee in a week six game against the Broncos. They pop that bad boy in. He's mad he can't get back on the field. Hey, man, you better put a brace on. You better shoot me up with something. I want to go play football. That ain't the energy I got yesterday from the quarterback of the Ravens. I got the energy of, hey, football's not fun right now. They're hitting too hard. Their defense is too fast. We can't get anything going. You know what? Why don't we get him next week? I thought he fell on his sword yesterday, and that's embarrassing. I'm sorry. That's an embarrassing effort from a two-time MVP who we think should be a three-time MVP, a guy who has a chance to win a Super Bowl at some point in his career, to at least the appearance of giving up the way that he did yesterday, should infuriate you if you cheer for the Baltimore Ravens.
We talked about this a lot last week. We were talking about, you know, who needs this win more, is it the Chiefs or the Ravens? And we talked about the mental stranglehold that the Chiefs have over the Ravens. They absolutely win the war between the eyes, for lack of a better term, over the Ravens. And it's just, I feel like you were seeing that in real time with Lamar Jackson. That first drive went great. Then the scripted plays are no longer scripted, and things are not going well. He's fumbling. They're bottling up the run game. The RPO game is disappearing. The, you know, zone read game is disappearing. The Chiefs are doing what the Lions did by having their spy just kind of hang out near the line and wait and wait and wait, as opposed to like traditional spy. It was all the stuff was happening, and it felt like Lamar was just frazzled and frustrated and just here we go again type of energy with the Chiefs. And it felt like when he saw an escape hatch, he took it. And I'm with you. I've never wanted to question an NFL player's toughness. I would imagine just to get on the field of an NFL game takes more toughness than the average person even can imagine. But it felt like everything was going against the Ravens and Lamar, and Lamar saw an out and took it. And you're right. I know today during his press conference, John Harbaugh said, you know, he couldn't get back out there. You know, his status for Sunday is unknown, but if he's not seriously injured, I'm going to question if he tapped himself, Anthony Richardson, let me get out of the game.
That man was out of the game with a broken heart, is what he was out with.
It looked like the Chiefs just broke him. Like, hey, mentally,
you're
gone.
That's what he was out with. That man was out with a broken ego. Questionable. Broken ego is what he was out for. I'm telling you, he looked like somebody that was in a fight, was losing the fight, and just didn't want to get beat up anymore, so he threw in the towel. I much rather you either get knocked out or you got to do some Leonardo DiCaprio level acting. You got to make me feel like you're hurt right now, like you really want to be out there, but just they won't let you. You got to give me a little bit more than what he got. And he just sat there and looked into the abyss and pouted for basically the final 15, 20 minutes of the game. And then at the end of it, you're the main one walking out, trying to dap up, trying to get dudes' jerseys at the end of the game. Unacceptable behavior. I want to play this for you. This was Stephen A. Smith earlier today on First Take. He is removing the Ravens from the Super Bowl contender list.
I think you look at the Ravens right now, you want to believe that John Harbaugh is going to get it together because his reputation speaks to that. But the reality is he's got some big-time questions to answer. This is the Ravens that we're talking about here. You don't hear about these kind of problems on defense. And by the way, I don't want to hear about Lamar Jackson's hamstring injury. They were down 27-10 when that happened,
yeah,
which means they were en route to losing that game. They were getting smacked around, and his frustration is really, you know, is really stirring up. You can see it. He's not able to hide it. That's not usually him. So they know that something is wrong. And the biggest thing is this. There's immense pressure on the offense because they have no faith that the defense can get stops when they really, really need to. And even when they've had injuries in the past, the culture, what they stood for, what they represented, they made sure you knew that Ravens defense was going to have a say in some capacity. They might bend a little bit, but they weren't going to break. They're breaking quite often right now. Teams are salivating at the opportunity to go against the Baltimore Ravens defense. And we never thought that we would see that before.
I want to give you guys some Derrick Henry stats for you guys. Now, I'm not the same way with Harrison Butker. When you got somebody at that level, I don't want to overreact to 1 month. But you guys know my feelings on Derrick Henry. He is the running back of his era. He is the running back of his generation. I would vote for him for the Hall of Fame. Peak Derrick Henry is as good of a running back that we have seen since the LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk era. He has been a dog. The last three games for Derrick Henry, 31 carries for 115 yards and one touchdown. Now, he ran the ball for 5.2 yards per carry, and you know I'm big on yards per attempt, and maybe they just didn't give Derrick Henry enough attempts. Doesn't that seem to be a theme whenever Derrick Henry led teams play the Kansas City Chiefs? Why is it so easy to get these teams out of what they do well against Kansas City? Now, maybe it just quite simply is, hey, the Chiefs offense is scoring, so you feel the pressure that you got to keep up and you got to do it. But no, in a game like this, in which the last thing you want to do, which is put your defense back on the field because the Chiefs were just carving that thing up, maybe that's the game in which you got to give Derrick Henry 20, 25 carries just because you're trying to keep your offense on the field and you're trying to keep your defense off the field. Derrick Henry has not been good. Aside from that first game, in the first game of the season, Derrick Henry had 18 carries for 169 yards and two touchdowns. Since then, 31 carries for 115 yards and one touchdown. Derrick Henry had a very disappointing September, even though the numbers would tell you that he was very good. He averaged 5.8 yards per carry in the month of September with three touchdowns. So maybe that is just our standards are incredibly high for Derrick Henry. But these last 3 weeks, 31 carries for 115 yards, that's a very beatable Ravens team, and they've been getting beat so far.
As someone who's been cheering for the demise of Derrick Henry for 5, 6, 7, 8 years now, I don't know it's over for Derrick Henry, but it felt like, at least yesterday, it felt like the Ravens just stopped using him. Like, I don't know if it was a game plan decision. I don't know if it was a scheme decision. I don't know if it was the game script. Like, I don't know what led to happen, but I'm sitting there watching the game. I have the audio on, and it felt like every time the Ravens had the ball, Tony Romo is screaming, "Give the ball to Derrick Henry. Get back to what you do." The Ravens are considered one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. That is largely built on having one of the best running backs in the NFL who almost rushed for 2,000 yards last year. I know he came up short, but he was, you know, second only to Saquon, and Saquon had a historical season. And it just felt like they were content to have Justice Hill in there over and over and over again. So, like I said, it could be over for Derrick Henry. We now have a game where they just kind of stopped playing him. He had the fumble problems. And Therez always used to say there's only so many hits on a running back's body. But it felt like, as someone who's been saying it's been over for a while, to say yesterday was the day it's a sign it happened, it just felt like the Ravens quit using him more than he wasn't effective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I certainly hear what you're trying to say. I mean, just looking at it, it's confusing to me, and I'm trying to pull up the numbers here really quickly while we're talking about it, Rob. So Derrick Henry, in at least the two regular season games, and I'll pull up the playoff games, the first time that Derrick Henry went against the Chiefs in a regular season game in Baltimore, so not in Tennessee, 13 carries in that game for 46 yards. Now, yesterday, 8 carries for 42 yards. We can go back to the AFC Championship game when these two teams went up against each other, a low-scoring 17-10 game. In that game, that was before they got Derrick Henry, so doesn't matter. It just, to me, if you're going to make the investment to go get Derrick Henry and you got the offense or the defense that they have, I don't know why Baltimore just wasn't committed to trying to give Derrick Henry the ball 20 times yesterday. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. The best thing that Baltimore could have tried to do yesterday was slow the game down. That's what they really needed to do. They needed to slow the game down yesterday. And funny enough, because I don't think you and I maybe didn't give enough credit for how bad the Baltimore defense was going to be. And their defense was bad. Like, that's one of the worst defenses in the National Football League. And I just maybe just didn't want to see it. You and I were saying that that's not a game that Kansas City wanted to play, that they wanted to play the shootout, that they wanted to play a 24-20 rock fight, stand in the middle of the ring kind of slugfest. No, Kansas City was prepared to run. The Ravens should have been the one walking the ball up the court. They should have been the one taking the full shot clock. The Chiefs turned this into a fast break game and just hit the Ravens from absolutely all angles. Hey, we'll do an end around to Xavier Worthy. We'll throw it over the top to Xavier Worthy. We'll get it to Juju. We'll get it to everybody in the Chiefs offense worked. Yesterday was a Lamar, Derrick Henry. We're going to play ground and pound. We're going to try to run the football right at the Chiefs. We don't think they can stop it. For whatever reason, whenever the Ravens play the Chiefs, that's never the style of football that they try to beat the Chiefs with. It's like they try to out Kansas City, out the Chiefs, and it just never seems to work.
I mean, I agree. I cannot believe, and I said on Friday, the Chiefs are going to want a rock fight. They're going to want to stay in the middle of the ring and, you know, haymaker after haymaker, and let's get out of there with a 21-18 type of win. That's how I felt the game was going to go. Now, the Chiefs came out, and they're like, "We're going to score. Can you keep up?" And it felt like the Ravens were like, "Yeah, we're the same high-flying offense you are. Watch this." But They weren't. They were trying to play fast break football, and they don't have the weapons to be a fast break team. It makes absolutely no sense to me what their game plan was. And now, I know they didn't have Derrick Henry in this game, but I think you'll understand my point. This is the second time that I've thought to myself, what is Baltimore doing for 6 days leading into the game? Like, what do they do on tape? What are they prepping for? What scheme do they think works when they play the Chiefs? Because I felt like one thing they had heading into the AFC title game a couple years ago in Baltimore was you got to get Lamar out and running and then put, you know, your linebackers in a bind and let's see if Lamar can go be great and beat the Chiefs in the AFC title game. They were content to make Lamar a drop back passer. That was a really stupid decision. They lost the AFC title game. This game, I felt like, hey, maybe you need to be in that kind of rock fight, you know, dribble the ball up the court, four corners type of offense, 20, 25 carries from Derrick Henry. We're just going to lean on you, Marty ball type of football for four quarters. And they were like, no, let's get into a shootout. And I knew by the end of the first quarter, they don't have the horses for a shootout. How come the Ravens just get out game planned the way they do so often?
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense to me. It also, it's very telling how differently Buffalo plays Kansas City than the Ravens play the Chiefs. Like Buffalo knows exactly who they are. They know exactly what they are. Think back to the regular season matchup last year. Remember when the Bills make the decision to go for it on fourth down? We're going to trust Josh Allen because we think Josh Allen is the best downhill runner in the National Football League. And we don't think that Kansas City can stop it. Like, we're going to play our game. We're going to be the best version of ourselves. And we think that's enough. That's just never what the Ravens do when they play the Chiefs. And for you not to just completely ride Derrick Henry for 20, 25 carries just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but that is also part of the reason that the Ravens got absolutely blitzed yesterday. Let me ask you this question. And coming up in a bit, we'll talk about Sunday Night Football and the ties and how I'm pro-tie. A lot of stances I didn't think I was going to be on the side of, but I'm on the stance of ties in football games.
That's a good take to have. I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm on the side of
it. We're going to be fighting a horde in about 10 minutes, but I'm excited to do it.
The Patrick Mahomes throw to Juju Smith-Schuster for the touchdown. When's the last time he had a throw like that? I'm talking about a incredibly tight window, put the mustard on it, touchdown. Now, he's made some miraculous, like, kind of scramble around, improvising plays. When was the last time that you remember him either having the time to sit back and make that kind of throw and just absolutely zipping it in there? I think more than anything, and I'm sure we'll talk about this at some point as the show progresses, about is the Chiefs offense back? What I think yesterday should show you more than anything is that's what the Chiefs offense should look like when it works. Yesterday, just about everything was up and operational. The run game was effective in what they needed it to be. They had all the available options. Their offensive line played well. Like, sometimes, and I get it, like, I think we all know Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, but sometimes I think whenever it doesn't happen, we try to, no. Well, it's because these things around him broke down and didn't lead him to look like the amazing once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generational player that he is. But, man, when you can get the things to work the way that they did yesterday, and the run game cooperates with the offensive line, when you're in short and manageable down and distances, when you got down the field deep threat options, like, I thought it was pretty obvious in the first half they were trying to get Xavier Worthy in a bunch of different looks because they didn't think that Baltimore could cover him. We're going to give it to you on an end around. We're going to use you down the field for that big plays. That's what the Chiefs offense looks like when you give them time and weapons. That's what it looks like. When you give him a very good offensive line like how they played yesterday, he's not constantly in trouble where you feel like he's running for his life, and you give him guys to throw the ball to and make plays, look at what can happen. You can score 30, 40 points. You still got the quarterback to do all of these things. So how do you get your offense in a position that either A, you are protecting him like you did yesterday, or continue to give him explosive, dynamic players to make plays like they did yesterday? Because that's what Xavier Worthy is. He is an explosive player. He led them in rushing. He led them in receiving. He did just about everything yesterday because he's that kind of player. Coming up on the other side, sometimes you ask for something and you get exactly what you asked for, and then you're still unhappy about what you got. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, I feel like today I've been put in a position to defend a lot of things. I don't know why it's bothering me, and I don't even listen to this person's music, but I don't know why we're treating Bad Bunny like he's some fledgling up-and-coming artist. I don't know why we're doing this. Like, it's fine if you don't listen to his music. I don't listen to his music. But I don't know why we're acting like Bad Bunny's not popular. It's just very weird to me how the internet is acting today, how the text line is acting. Very odd to me. Very, very odd. Coming up in a little bit, we are going to be joined by Mitch Holtis. Mitch Holtis seems like somebody that loves Bad Bunny. We'll talk to him about that coming up in just a little bit. Now, I've been looking forward to this segment all day because I'm happy with the way that Sunday Night Football ended yesterday. In fact, I am thrilled with the way that Sunday Night Football ended. And this is why. I sat here and had to listen to everybody tell me how unfair the overtime rules were. And it's not fair. Both teams have to get the ball. I mean, it got decided by a coin flip. We didn't even have a chance. Okay, all right. So let's give both teams the ball. Let's just, here, both teams get the ball. Both teams got the ball. Both teams had an equal and fair chance to try to go win the game. Neither team won the game. The game ended. Oh, well, we can't have ties. What's happening here? The game has to end at some point. That's what happened on Sunday Night Football. I want to tell you something, and I know you're going to disagree because it is in your nature to disagree, but you know what I am saying is fact. There is no possible way. I mean, it is impossible to create a football overtime that we all like, that is fair, that is not hokey, and also doesn't jeopardize the health and safety of the people participating in the overtime. There is not a single one. So maybe you love the college football playoff, and sure, it's fun. Well, it gets really goofy at the end of it now. At the end of the second overtime, they make both teams now go for two-point conversion, and then they turn it into a two-point conversion off, which is dumb, which is incredibly silly. In the NFL, I didn't mind the way that we just had it before. Now, I understand the old way where you could just win on a kick. I understand that point, but people didn't like that way. They didn't like, hey, we flip a coin, the first team to score, they win the game. All right, fine. Then we had another way where, well, if you score a touchdown, that ends the game. A team scored a touchdown. Then people were mad that that wasn't fair. Well, how can you do that? I mean, what are you talking about? Your defense gave up a touchdown. We've been playing for 66 minutes. You lost. Good day. But no, it has to be fair. So, yeah, we gave them fair. Both teams had the ball. They had 70 minutes. No team won the game. They both go home. You get a tie. I'm happy with that. I mean, I've offered up my suggestion for the overtime. They don't want to listen to me. This is how I would do the NFL overtime in the regular season. 15 minutes or four, first to 6 points. That's it. So if you give up a touchdown or a safety, that's the way I do it. The game, it's first to six. If you give up a safety or 15 minutes expires, that is the end of the game. That feels fair to me. That's not the rules that they have. But both teams know the rules. Both teams get an equal chance. Everything is fair. Nobody can say that the rules are rigged in one way or the other. It's not decided by a coin flip, even though it was really decided by your defense that gave up a touchdown. This is the overtime that everybody wants. So I don't want to hear anybody mad that the game ends in a tie. Because then if they tried to fix that, you would then call that hokey. Like if they turned it into a kickoff at the end and they just let the field goal kickers decide, you would hate that too. There's nothing that we can do to make everybody happy. So accept what you got.
I mean this as seriously as anything. I don't mind ties. I would be fine if they eliminated overtime in the regular season and just went straight to a tie. I'm with you in overtime of a playoff game. I want it to be fair. I want it to be equitable. I want it to be, hey, we just played 60 minutes. We get an extra 10 or 15 more. I'm with you in the divisional round, the wild card round, the AFC and NFC title game, the Super Bowl. I'm 100% on board. But it just feels like it doesn't happen all that often. It's okay to end a game in a tie. It is not that big of a deal. People love to panic and scream and shout on social media about how it's just a disaster and blah, 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 blah. A tie is fine. The Packers are better off today because they tied. The Cowboys are better off today because they tied. I think the system we have now is fine. And if we were to even refine it and say, hey, regular season games sometimes going to end in a tie and we don't have overtime, maybe that would incentivize people to be more aggressive at the end of regulation. But people act like a tie is some terrible thing. It's not that bad at all. I watch a lot of soccer. It happens. It's life. There are different ways to tie. Sometimes you hate, like, we should have won that one. Sometimes you feel like you stole one out of the fire. But a tie is not that bad of a deal.
Someone said, just keep playing until you have a winner. Ties are lame. That just doesn't seem like a way to decide a regular season football game. It just doesn't seem like that. I hate the college overtime. If you like the college overtime, that's fine. I think it becomes really, really goofy.
Fast. It gets goofy fast.
It's silly. I didn't like it when it was a 7 overtime game. I also don't like it when now we're just doing 2. They even walked down to the, like, what are we doing here? Like, we can't do it where, like, I understand wind and all that kind of stuff. So, wait, you're telling me, like, the offense can't just go for 2-point conversion facing it this way. The other team's offense comes, we could do it the exact same way. No, we got to go down to the other. It's just, it's dumb. It's dumb. I know you want it to be like football or basketball's overtime. Basketball's a very different game. Yeah, play 5 more minutes. Play 5 more minutes. Sure, you want it to be like baseball. Here, we'll just play an extra inning. Whoever has the most runs at the end of that inning, they win the game. That's not the way that football works for a lot of different reasons. So I just acknowledge that we're all not going to be happy with the way that they do the overtime. Some of you like the overtime. Some of you don't like the overtime. It really comes down to, can you live with ties in the regular season? Can you live with ties? I can live with the tie in the regular season. It's fine. You had ample time to win the game. Both of these teams yesterday had more than enough of an opportunity to win the game. If either one of them could get any kind of stop on defense, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The real talk today doesn't need to be about ties. It needs to be about how the Packers hoodwinked us. Because in back-to-back weeks, you lost to the Browns and tied the Cowboys. You're not a legitimate Super Bowl contending team. You can't be. It's impossible for you to be right now. You might can get there. But if you just gave up 40 points to the Cowboys offense and then you lost to the Browns, stop it. You'll never fool me. I'm serious. You'll never fool me. A lot of tomfoolery went on this past week in the National Football League. The Chargers fooled us. The Packers fooled us. It was a lot of tomfoolery going on in the National Football League, and I'm not here for it. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. We'll talk about that beatdown that the Chiefs put on the Ravens. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.